Well, good morning again. I very much enjoyed the Bible study time looking at the Lord's Prayer. I told Aaron I think we could have easily done a couple of weeks and split that up a little bit. There was definitely several times we pushed on to the next verse when we could have lingered and continued to glean more. But it was a blessing to look at that together and spend some time. I've heard someone say it perhaps should, instead of being called the Lord's Prayer, it should be called the Disciples' Prayer, because he was giving us an example of how we should pray rather than that he was so much himself praying that prayer, though he was praying it as well, and that was the attitude of his prayers. But let's open with prayer this morning, and then we'll get into the sermon. Father, I thank you for this beautiful morning. Lord, I thank you for the fact that we can come to you as we looked at this morning as our Father. We can come to you knowing already beforehand your love and your care for us, your mercy and your tenderness towards us. Father, I pray now as we open your scriptures that our hearts would be drawn close. Father, that we might behold wondrous things out of thy law. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start this morning with a passage that stuck out to me every time I've read across it for quite a few years in Isaiah. This is a passage that there's a few verses here in particular that just always catch me and send my mind running down a similar train of thought. And I want to look beginning there this morning and branch off from that a little bit. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10 and 11. He says, "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young." And I want to look this morning at the tenderness of the shepherd, the tenderness and the gentleness of the shepherd. So many times it's easy for us to get focused on the fact that he will come and he will rule, and he does. He wields his power and he is the king. His reward is with him. He rewards those who obey and who follow. His work is before him. He's powerful. He's mighty. Everything is obvious and open. The heavens themselves declare the power and the might and the wonder of our God. So many times I feel like, especially in conservative circles, it's easy to begin to forget that he's also our tender shepherd. He shall feed his flock. As you read and you look here at this verse, you see the care. You see the gentleness. You see that he's watching out for all collectively and individually. He's watching out for his flock, for his lambs, for those who follow him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. A shepherd doesn't just say, "There it is. If you want it, go get it." A shepherd goes out, and especially if you look and you study into what a shepherd did in this time period of in the Old Testament, when you had something that you could actually understand and grasp this a little bit better. Right now, in our way that our society is, many of these things have to be more explained. But when a shepherd would go to prepare a field for his sheep, he didn't just turn them loose into whatever chunk of ground was available. A shepherd, or rather I should say a sheep, is a very tender animal, very susceptible, very weak. And a shepherd would go out and he would prepare the field for his sheep with care. and with tenderness. He would search out and he would find the poisonous plants, because there are actually quite a few plants that will hurt, poison, weaken a sheep. A sheep is a fragile creature. You send a goat out, man, he'll eat anything and everything. He'll eat the trash. He'll eat the thistles and he'll thrive on them. I've watched a goat have a bucket of feed poured out and he will turn his head away from the feed to go eat a thistle. A goat's not like that. A sheep's not like that, rather. A sheep is so much more vulnerable, so much more dependent on the shepherd. And when God speaks in Revelation about at the judgment seat of Christ, he speaks about the goats and the sheep. And the goats are those who don't rely on God. The goats are those who run out and do their own thing and they think they've got it all handled and they're tough and they're rough and they don't need anybody at all to watch out for them. A sheep won't make it very long in the wild. A sheep won't make it very long on its own. A sheep is dependent on the shepherd to care for. The shepherd goes in, he prepares that field, he fills in little holes and divots so that the sheep doesn't break its foot. He pulls out the weeds, he makes sure that there's plenty of good pasture there. He prepares it. He doesn't just turn them loose. And here he says, he, God, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. As we look through Scripture, we see this again and again. God caring, God gently guiding, God gently leading and teaching and feeding and protecting us, watching over us. A lamp to our feet, not just he's a light that shines all over the pasture and now you go figure it out and walk and make your own way, but a lamp to our feet. It's specifically focused and directed on the next step to make sure we can see where we're going and that we're not tripping and falling. It also isn't showing us way out ahead, but it's also focused in. It's a lamp, not just a bright shining brilliance all around, but a lamp to our feet. It specifically focuses that light where we're stepping, where we're walking, so we see how to walk clearly, so we aren't taken in by traps and snares, so we aren't tripping and falling in holes. Not that we don't ever, but if we rely on the shepherd and we watch and we're aware and we're alert to that light and that lamp that guides our feet, we avoid those things. And his light, his lamp, is specifically to our feet. And here we see him feeding his flock like a shepherd. And then he goes even more tender and intimate. He shall gather the lambs with his arms. This is an embrace. This is a loving caress. This is a gathering them in from danger to his side, to his presence, to love on them, to care for them, to hold them close. Christ desires to be personally, deeply, intimately connected with each one of his followers, each one of his sheep, that they know his voice, they know his embrace, they know his hand, they know his touch. And he even says that's part of the security of how you can stay safe as a lamb, is to learn to know your shepherd's voice so you won't follow a stranger's voice who comes in and says even great promises and great sounding things. You're going to go, wait, that's not my shepherd. That doesn't sound like how he talks. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom. This, again, would be affectionate, but this has the idea also of even carrying them through times when they can't walk, carrying them across a stream, which is very dangerous for a lamb, carrying them maybe even when they've been hurt or even been chastised. And he's carrying them as they heal, as they regain their strength. He carries them in his bosom, next to his heart, close, and shall gently lead those that are with young. I just love the beauty of this passage as it pictures the tenderness and the gentleness of the shepherd. So many times we can get an idea in our head of, well, you just do it or else. Or I'm the big boss and I say it and that's the way it's going to be and you must buckle under. And God is the king. And he does have the authority to give the command and we must obey. But yet he also has the tenderness and the gentleness of a shepherd who tends and who cares and who's there. And he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. You're not expected as a lamb to be walking on your own and figuring this out. That's the best possible way to get in trouble. You're not expected to just pick yourself up by your bootstraps and just do it. No, you're expected to lean and to depend, to follow, to listen for his voice, to obey, to follow where he leads, to eat what he feeds, to not eat what he doesn't feed, to be dependent on him and looking to him as your leader, your provider, your caregiver. This isn't the idea of I hang out in his general vicinity. This is the idea of I'm looking to him for everything. He's the one who feeds me. He's the one who carries me when I can't make it through something. He's the one who gathers me in his arms. He's the one who gently points out and directs my way. He's the one who rescues me when I fall over the cliff. He's the one who chastises me when I stray. And I look to him, not just that we're friends who hang out in the same vicinity, but he's my shepherd. He's my caregiver. He's the one on whom I depend. And I realize my need to follow him. So many times it's easy for us to get the idea that we're supposed to be pretty independent. It's easy for us to think God's sitting up there saying, all right, I told you three times. Now just get it right. Just figure it out. And he's not. When I stray, he goes after me. He brings me back. When I'm hungry, I look to him. When I'm thirsty, I look to him. The sheep that wanders off to go find his own grass is bound to find something that's going to hurt him. The sheep that wanders off to find his own water is bound to find water that brings him harm. The sheep who's timid or runs away from the shepherd's hand, the shepherd's caress, isn't going to know that embrace, isn't going to know that tenderness. And so many who I've met who at least would profess to know the Lord and walk with him don't know the tenderness of this shepherd. It's so easy to feel like he's standing over you with a stick, just waiting for you to mess up, to hit you over the head. It's so easy to create this idea in your mind of the gods of the nations. You have to appease him. You have to do these sacrifices just so. You have to do it just right so that he gives you his favor, so he smiles on you. Just as we looked in the beginning of the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer. He is our Father. And Jesus even goes so far as to say, if you look at, and I'm paraphrasing here, but if you look at the way that a good father would treat his child, you should assume and you should realize and you should know that God is a far better father than the best father. So if I'm willing to give my child grace, correction when they need it, but also comfort when they need it, I provide for their needs. They don't have to go out begging on the street. They don't have to go out trying to figure out, okay, what am I going to eat for breakfast this morning? I just got to figure it out. They don't have to go out looking for where's a safe place to spend the night where maybe they won't get chewed up by a wild animal or they won't get kidnapped or they won't get all these various things. They don't have to look for a warm place sheltered from the storm. I'm their father. I provide that for them. And Jesus says, how much more your heavenly Father is a good Father. All these attributes and characteristics that we look at and we can clearly see, and there's no contention as to, yes, that is a good Father to do those things for your children. Guess what? God has those in spades. Anything that we would look at and truly be able to recognize, this is how a good father would treat his child. God does that even more perfectly and more abundantly than we ever could. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. Brother Ezra looked the other day at Psalm 23 at the nursing home. And I want to just briefly glance over that again. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm not walking around with just an aching lack in my life. Because he's there and he provides. This isn't just on the physical. He has all that I need emotionally. He has all that I need spiritually. He has all that I need mentally. He's my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. We already talked a little about that, about how the shepherd would prepare the pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Again, a lamb is very fragile. A sheep is very fragile. If you take them by a stream that's flowing and they happen to go one step too far and they get caught in that current, their fleece is so heavy and it soaks up so much water that in a moment they'll go drifting off down river and drown. And the shepherd would take and build a little dam and stop the flow of the river, make a little pool where they could come and they could drink. The Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Again, he's not saying, go find them. He's not saying, figure it out. He leads me. I have to be willing to follow, but he's leading. He's leading the way. He's not trying to obscure it from me. He's not trying to hide the right or the good or the beneficial from me. He's leading me into it if I will follow and obey. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. You're my shepherd. You're my provider. You're my protector. And you're with me. What did he say back in Isaiah? He carries them in his bosom. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This goes beyond just this lifetime. He is guiding us as our gentle, what does he say? Goodness and mercy. Overwhelming and gently guiding and leading us all through this life, all of my days, all of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The goal that he's leading me towards is eternal. And he's getting me there in his mercy, in his gentleness, his grace, his goodness. Psalm 18, 35 and 36. He says, Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. God, you've given me a shield. You are my shield. You're holding me up. Your gentleness is making me great, has made me great. And again, we see the carefulness and the watch care of the shepherd as he says, You've enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. God, you are making space for my feet to not be hanging off the edge. You're making the path solid before me. You're a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And the psalmist here is realizing and recognizing that though there's truth in the fact that God's power and God's might accomplishes things in our life that is incredible, the gentleness also accomplishes things. He says, Your gentleness has made me great. God, the fact that you keep on keeping on with me and that you don't give up, the fact that you care for me and you guide me and you guard me and you feed me, that's life. That's what sustains me. That's what gives me the ability and the strength and the unction to go on and to accomplish things that are set before me, to be the man or the woman that God wants me to be the husband or the wife, the father or the mother, to be the son, the daughter, the employee, the friend that God would have me to be. His gentleness, it reminds me again, back to what we were talking this morning Lord's Prayer. As I see His forgiveness for me, it should spark that forgiveness to those around me. That gentle care and love and forgiveness and mercy that God showers on me, as I grow in that and walk in that, that should be flowing out of me to those around me. You could take and substitute just about any human relationship after this word, Your gentleness has made me a great friend. Your gentleness has made me a great father, a great mother. And of course, not perfectly in this lifetime, but it's working that way. And it's seeing God's love and God's tenderness towards me that genders that towards those around me. We can only express love and forgiveness and mercy and kindness as we realize it's been extended to us. And we reciprocate that love back to God, and we let that love and that care and that kindness flow out to those around us as it overflows more than I even need. He's so tender. He's so loving. His mercy and His goodness and His grace just more than I need, more than I could ever use. And it flows out, it trickles out to those around me because He's that good, abundantly beyond just the bare minimum, that I not only have all that I need, but I have to give freely and lavish to others. Psalm 25, 4 through 6, he says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old." Again, he's recognizing the fact that the goodness of God, the tender mercies, the loving kindnesses are the thing that is inspiring him to pursue God. He's recognizing that God's goodness is what's causing him to desire to say, "Lord, teach me your paths. I want to walk in them. I want to follow you. You're such a good shepherd. And the more I realize what a good shepherd you are, the more my heart yearns to be drawn close. The more my heart says, God, I want to get close to you. I want to follow you. I want to be like you. Show me thy ways. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation, and on thee do I wait all the day." That's a dependency. I'm waiting on you. I don't have it, but I trust you do. I know you do. I know you care. Psalm 36, 7 through 10, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures," the river of thy pleasures, "for with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Oh, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart." The psalmist here just reveling in the abundance, the excellence of thy loving kindness, the abundance. He says they shall be abundantly satisfied. If I'm finding myself dry and lacking that, maybe I'm not staying close enough to the shepherd to realize when he's got a pasture prepared for me. Maybe I'm not staying close enough to the shepherd to realize when there's a fountain of life to drink from. He says, "In thy light, we see light." The idea that God sets forth is always, I'm your Father. If I have it, you have it. If I have it, it's available to you. When Jesus speaks, he says, "I have all power in heaven and earth. Therefore, you can go out confidently. Because I have all that power. And if I have it, it's available to you." He says, "My Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the gold of every mine. And if he has it, It's available to his children, not in a greedy, grasping sort of a way, but yet to provide for our needs. As we saw this morning in the Lord's Prayer, our daily bread, our needs. One more passage I want to look at briefly in the Old Testament, and this is when Moses asked God, "Show me your glory." And God's response, how God showed Moses his glory in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed what? The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. This is God's description of himself to Moses when Moses said, "God, I want to know you more, and I want you to show me your glory. I want you to show me your presence. Show me who you are." And God goes on from there, but he begins this discourse of, "This is who I am, Moses," by saying, "The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth." And then briefly, as we finish off, I want to look at Romans 2, verse 4. Because I don't mean for this to come across as a message that would say, "Oh, it's fine, you can do whatever, and God's going to just be tender and gentle, and he never requires anything of you." But yet in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, he says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" When we see God's goodness, when we see God's gentleness, when we see his kindness, his tenderness, the Apostle Paul says that is designed and intended to lead you to repentance, to lead you to surrendering your will, your desires, your ideas, your picture of the future, of how it's going to look and how it should look, and your wants and your will and your all the things that you hang on to and you cling to. All this goodness and this tenderness and this gentleness ought not to make us flippant. But he says, rather, that is designed to lead you to repentance, to lead you to a pouring out of yourself before God and saying, "God, I see how much you love me, and I cast myself on your mercy. I see how much you love me. I see your gentleness, and it makes me want to get to know you better. It makes me want to follow you. It makes me want to please you. It makes me want to surrender everything to you and let you be the king and the Lord and the boss and the shepherd." And that, Paul says, is the proper response. He says, otherwise, you're despising the riches of his goodness. If you're taking it for granted and you're just saying, "Oh yeah, well, let us sin therefore that grace may abound." No, God forbid. The goodness of God, his riches and his mercy and his long suffering and his care ought to draw us to repentance, to love, to admiration, and to surrender. Say, "God, I'm all yours. I'm all yours. I realize you're not a bad father. I realize you're not a derelict shepherd who just turns his sheep loose and let them fend for themselves. I realize you're a good shepherd, and I commit myself under your care. I will follow and obey and listen to your voice." Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for the glimpse that we catch all through Scripture again and again and again of the gentleness and the tenderness of our shepherd. Lord, your care, your grace, your mercy, truly nothing that we have is deserved or earned. Lord, truly all that we have is simply of grace and mercy, undeserved. Father, help us to walk in the proper response to that, that it leads us to repentance, it leads us to commitment, it leads us to a wholehearted surrender and a loving devotion to our dear shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen.